One of our absolute favorites, a man you've heard on this show several times before. He is our Hollywood insider. He is Al Harris. Al, great to have you on as always, my friend. And boy, is there a lot to talk about today. The first thing I want to start with, I want to dive into this whole Beauty and the Beast deal. And I want to do that because I was enamored with the voice of the Beast in the movie. I don't think you've seen this movie yet. I could be wrong about that. But I want to know what in the world they might have done in order to alter the voice of the Beast, because that was one of my favorite parts of that movie.
Hey, how's it going, Bull? So get right into it. Beauty and the Beast, I have not seen. Was working all weekend, but I've watched the trailers, and I know you know how this stuff works. And it seems like, from what I've read and seen, that the voice was all his own. It was, you know, he, you know, tried it out, worked it, changed his voice a little bit, probably had an acting coach or a voice coach help him out.
So you're saying that there
some
was...
stuff as well, which is something he hasn't done before.
Any alteration? Like, there's no, like, post-production alteration of that voice whatsoever?
They totally could have, but from what I watched and from what I've read, it doesn't seem like there was much, if anything. Okay. Seems like a lot of that was just pure acting ability.
Wow, that's magnificent then, because that voice, like I say, when he was doing the Prince, obviously there was nothing necessary there other than the obvious, but I mean, boy, when he did that voice, man, it was just incredible. Now, of course, it killed at the box office. So the box office in general...
Which, if you remember last week, I told you it would.
Oh, yeah,
you did.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it wasn't just that, though. That was a big piece of the puzzle. But the box office, if I'm not mistaken, pulled in nearly $250 million this weekend.
Jeez, I heard something along the lines of $150. I could have misread that. If it's $250, that's incredible for that movie.
Well, I mean, not just that movie. I'm saying that movie netted somewhere in that area, but I'm saying the box office in general, with folks that maybe didn't see Logan the first time around or Kong the first time around. Yeah, the box office in general just really, really cleaned up. Now, if we could stick with that for just a second.
For sure.
Is there any way in the world they can keep that up, and are there any movies on the horizon that could give it a fighting chance at keeping that up?
Well, it seems like, I'd like to say that there's a reason why the box office is as high as it's been at the beginning of the year, which is usually not the case. I think it's just the matter of there's a lot better quality films at the beginning of this year than there have been in the past. I mean, Logan was incredible. Get Out was something that I haven't seen in a long time. And it was made for $4 million, grossed over $100 million. You had, like, we talk about King Kong and Beauty and the Beast. So I think it's just a matter of movies that are really attracting people, I think. And also with, you know, hate to say this, but the way the world's going right now, a lot of people are, you know, politics, I don't want to talk politics at all, but, you know, with everything the way it's going, people are more willing to get that escape, I feel like. And then to answer your question about the next movie, it looks like there's not, I think it's going to go down the next couple of weeks. There's nothing like really big coming out, but then in mid-April you have the new Fast and the Furious, and then a couple weeks later you have Guardians of the Galaxy. Both of them are going to do huge box offices. So I think we're going to see a little ebb and flow the next couple months, but you're going to see some really high points.
Al, maybe it's just me. Maybe I sound like an old man here just grinding my gears here. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of original stuff out there anymore. Don't get me wrong. I love the X-Men movies. Logan, I'm excited to see. Skull Island, I think, looks cool. But King Kong's already been created. So has Wolverine. What's going on? And I guess maybe I get here because of the whole Beauty and the Beast thing. I've seen the cartoon. To me, the cartoon can't be outdone. So I haven't seen the movie yet. I'll eventually go see it, I'm sure. But what's going on in Hollywood? Is there just a lack of originality, or are these things so good people are saying, look, let's go back at this. Let's see if we can't do it again.
Well, Matt, you don't sound like an old man. I've said this for a long time. I definitely think there's a – I wouldn't even say that there's a lack of, like, quality scripts or lack of – there's a lot of, you know, there's these cash cows, you know, like we said, like I said earlier, Fast and the Furious, they're on their, what, eighth movie?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to keep making money. It's one of those. So why come out with something that is brand new, that doesn't have a fan base, that is just a complete crapshoot, when you can put something out that you know is going to make that money? Beauty and the Beast, again, a name. And with that, too, they have to pay, you know, don't have to put in as much in advertising because they know it's already a known quantity. But that being said, even though Logan was, you know, a Wolverine story, I thought it was a unique story, a unique telling. It wasn't like a remake like Beauty and the Beast or something like Fast and the Furious, which hits all the right points. I thought Logan was something completely different. And like I said earlier with Get Out, that is an original film. It's a genre film. It does hit some genre points, but the way it's done is completely original. And it's done great in the box office. And it shows that if the studios give the people some credit, they will still see original material. And that would be, you know, I would love that more. And I think there's still, like, especially with what Netflix is doing in other places, indie films or original ideas are still coming out there. There's still some great films out there, just, you know, not the big box office draws that, say, Beauty and the Beast is.
I'm glad you brought up Get Out, too, Al, because I wanted to ask you about that one based on the fact I think critics were pretty tough on Get Out the first week it came out, but people went and saw it. And like you said, it was made for $4 million. It's grossed well more than that. I always think the people are obviously going to do what they want to do regardless of what critics say, but could that be holding people back from actually putting out those original movies?
See, I disagree with you, Matt. Get Out actually has a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics loved it, and I think that helped, especially with where the social climate is. It helped people go to see that film. And I think some people don't, like, I like to hear what the critics say. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm, like, on the fence of a movie, and then I hear, like, oh, it's actually really good, I'll go see it. But if it's getting just panned, I won't. And some people don't like to be swayed like that. I don't really like being swayed. It's a way of not, you know, wasting time, 2 hours of my life seeing a movie I care not to see. So I think that has something to do with it, but I don't think it's a huge factor.
Did you drop your phone? What just happened there?
No, are you there?
We had Al Harrison. He just dropped out. Are you still with us, man? It sounded like you dropped your phone on the floor.
I hear you. No. You there?
Oh, yeah. No, we got you, man. We're all good. We're all good.
Oh, I didn't drop any. That's weird.
No.
I don't know what happened.
Got nervous for a second there. I thought maybe you just got tired of us asking you questions.
No, I love it. Keep them coming.
Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. At some point, I guess we have to talk about that Fast and Furious 9465, which comes out next month. I'm not looking forward to it. I really don't want to talk about it, but inevitably we're going to have to at some point. Let's transition into your picks to click. Now, I know I've been told by top men that there's a show that debuts on True TV tonight. I would imagine that's got to be one of your picks to click, correct?
Oh, totally. My shameless plug one more time, because it premieres tonight at 10 p.m. on True TV, Upscale with Prentice Penny. I mentioned a little bit last week, but I'll tell you real quick. So it's the writer-producer of Happy Endings, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and showrunner of HBO's Insecure has a style show, kind of in the style of, like, Anthony Bourdain's, where he, like, goes to places, finds out how to live an upscale life for cheap, you know, as far as, like, how to get a gourmet sandwich, hats. But he's a very funny guy. The interviews are a lot funnier than you would see on other shows of that style. Plus, with his sense of humor, there's a lot of good, like, scripted bits in the beginning. We have there's guests from Johnny Gill of New Edition to Adam Pally from Happy Ending, Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I worked on it, so of course I'm going to plug it, but I think it's in that grouping of shows, I think it's going to stand out, and I'm excited for it to premiere tonight.
You said 10 p.m. Eastern Time on True TV. What's the name of the show one more time?
It's called Upscale with Prentice Penny.
Upscale with Prentice Penny, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, True TV tonight. All right, hey, you know what? We wanted to throw that out there for the pick to click so that we could see our Hollywood insider at work for sure. Also wanted to transition into some news that came out in TV land today. Boy, the Big Bang Theory has made some noise. Apparently, and maybe you're more clued in on this than we are, but the rumor is they have actually signed for two more seasons, and the Big Three. Of course, I'm talking about Johnny Galecki, who is Leonard, Kaley Cuoco, who's Penny, and Jim Parsons, who is Sheldon. They're taking a little bit of a pay cut in order to make some room for some of the other cast members to get a bit of a bump in pay.
Yeah, I heard that as well, and I think that's great because I think they are I have a unpopular viewpoint on that show, so I'm not going to say much about that, but I think they are wildly overpaid. So it's nice that they are taking that pay cut and helping out the rest of the cast. And the fact that this show is going to be on for at least 12 seasons is blowing my mind. But, you know, people like what they like, I guess. That's all I've heard.
Al Harris would like to go bang, bang shows, to the Big Bang Theory.
Well, it's one of those shows, you know, and a lot of sitcoms are that issue, but I think this is the same. They hit a formula early on. Modern Family, I think, does the same thing, even though I do like Modern Family slightly more, where they get the same amount of laughs, they have these characters, and they find out what people find funny, and then they ramp it up into almost like caricatures, like Cameron's kind of flipping out and, you know, I'm missing the word, but on Modern Family, and then you have the same characters with, like, you know, Sheldon in the beginning was a little antisocial, and now it's, you know, gotten crazy, you know, for the sake of the laughs. And, but that's with any show, and it's good for them. They could do 12 seasons, and people love it. That's, yeah.
Interesting enough. Now, just kind of curious as to what you thought about that, because that's the top comedy on TV right now. And
it
two
is.
More seasons. I mean, as you said, 12 seasons. That's really, really impressive, especially in today's day and age. There's no doubt about that.
And here's the thing I'll say, too, is I think especially with, like, that, because, you know, you had some shows like there was How I Met Your Mother that kept going on, and some of the cast wasn't sure they wanted to keep doing it because they had a lot of other stuff going on. You saw that with, like, Jason Segel. Once that show ended, he was fantastic in, I think it was The End of the Tour, which is a movie where he played David Foster Wallace, and then Kobe Smulders on that show as well has been doing great stuff in the indie world. And I think with someone like Big Bang Theory, again, I think the actors, because a lot of those actors like Kaley Cuoco and Johnny Galecki didn't do much, or I mean did a bunch before them, and kind of like had petered out, and then they blew up again in Big Bang Theory. And I think these roles are perfect for them. I don't necessarily think if this show ended, any of these actors would blow up as, say, a lot of other shows do. So I think it's good for them to keep this show going. I don't think anyone is screaming to get out of the show, if that makes any sense.
Makes plenty of sense. All right, well, hey, you know what? We'll leave you on this. This is our daily food for thought, and I prepped you for this, so you've had some time to think about it. We want to know, what's the over-under on toppings you can put on your burgers? This includes cheese, and it includes sauce.
Well, I don't think there is an over-under.
Yes.
I don't think you can put too many toppings on a burger. I think keep them coming. Like, the sloppier, the better. Like, I don't think it takes away from the meat. I just think it enhances it.
See, I knew somebody out there agreed with me. You can never have too many toppings. I think you can certainly make the burger with the toppings. I'm glad you agree with me, my friend, because I think I'm going to be fighting this uphill battle throughout the rest of the show. The next 2 hours or so, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be firing shots at me, but I'm with you. You can never have too many for sure.
No, totally. I mean, what's the point of just meat and cheese? You got to, like, you know, add the bacon, add the mushrooms, add as much as you can.
I just feel like at some point you're crossing a line with the chef there when you've ordered a sandwich on top of your sandwich here. Bull had suggested a pulled pork on top of it. I said, that's just basically two different sandwiches with one bun.
See, I disagree. I think it was at a place in Cleveland. I had a burger with pastrami on it, and it was fantastic.
Yeah. See, I mean, I guess I've seen it before.
I'll tell you, you got to live large when you go with a burger.
It bores.
Great stuff. All right, hey. 10 o'clock, True TV tonight, correct?
Correct. Upscale with Prentice Penny.
We look forward to it, my friend. Always appreciate you stopping by and giving us your inside information. We will do it again next week, Al.
All right. Thanks a lot, Andy. Thanks a lot, Matt. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All righty. That's Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, giving us the inside scoop on what to expect, whether you're streaming, watching it on TV, or going to the box office. We are way late for a break. Let's step aside. You'll hear Matt Douglas in the local news after this. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.